Hello there! This show contains material which a truly free society would neither fear nor suppress. The language and concepts contained herein will not cause eternal torment in the place where the guy with the horns and pointed stick conducts his business.
Hello, all.
What's up?
You're so suave. Ben, you're so effing suave.
Hey, Rich, want to go for a ride?
A ride!
The previous was a very badly done rendition of a scene in Blue Velvet.
Yep.
That'll one of the greatest films of the 80s. Well, John was quite famous when I knew him like 10, 15 years ago. And now it's dark. That was something that he would say all the time. And if you haven't seen this film, you should. We should see it again and talk about it. It's a classic piece of cinema.
We should. Hey, looks like you've been here all right.
That is the driest, most deadpan line ever. Yep, looks like a human ear all right. And who's in that film? Let's see. We got Kyle MacLachlan.
Isabella Rossellini.
Dennis Hopper. And, of course, the great Ben.
Dean Stockwell.
Yep. Well, and the blonde girl from Jurassic Park.
Laura Dern.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, this is all before they were really famous. Kyle MacLachlan wasn't famous at all then.
It was post Dune, though, wasn't it?
Dune was his breakout role.
Yeah, and Stockwell was in that also.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, of course, same director.
Right. Yeah.
David Lynch.
Mob.
Psychopath that he is.
Heavy metal band. You know, we the last episode we did, it was right after Thanksgiving, and we didn't even talk about Thanksgiving. You know, we didn't even mention it at all. Food. How could we not talk about food? In fact, I have some food news. Let's.
Well, hang on a second.
What? I actually don't. Oh, see? I just
food
wanted
news.
To hear that noise.
You're going to say the word news just to get the news bed, right?
I don't have any food news, actually. Although I did a lot of, well, yeah.
Okay, you know. I'm going to cut it.
All right, just cut it.
Yeah, well, it was Thanksgiving, and, you know, even though this is belated, we had leftovers for several days afterwards.
Yeah. Actually, John and I just ate some of his mother's leftovers.
Yeah, that would sound kind of weird, having leftovers from Thanksgiving that are 2 weeks old.
Yeah. Well, you froze them.
That's right. I froze them.
John, we can call him...
Mr. Freeze.
No, what's the bird's eye? You're like Mr. Bird's Eye over there with the freeze. John has his vacuum packing machine, the whole
flash
nine yards.
Freezer.
Yeah, he's carbonite. He does the whole nine yards.
That's right. I keep my kids in carbonite over the weekends, bring them to school, and, you know, pop them open. They're fresh.
Yeah.
They're like popping fresh. Anyways, what I wanted to mention this morning, this afternoon, this evening was you're getting sick of it, and I'm getting sick of it. And this is nothing new, but...
What are we getting sick of?
I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore.
What movie is that from?
Broadcast News.
Yes.
Spam. The friggin' spam.
I hate the friggin' spam! Enough with the spam!
And Rich and I, obviously, we share an email server for bloodyveg.com.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, we get so much garbage. Not only do we get the spam from our standard email accounts, we get the spam in our feedback account because it was posted on our blog.
And in fact, that's what... clogged up our feedback account.
A friend, right.
We weren't even aware that our feedback account wasn't working mm-hmm. for months, probably.
Yep.
And a friend of mine had this pumpkin pie recipe, speaking of Thanksgiving, and I had asked her to email it to me. And she said, where should I send that? I said, oh, just send it to feedback at bloodyveg.com. And it bounced. Then I called her on the phone and said, hey, I didn't get that recipe yet. She said, it bounced. Fatal error. And I went, oh, let's look at that. Hey, oh.
Oh. Yeah, very offensive. So not only do we have the regular email addresses getting clogged up, but we're getting the spam for the accounts in our forum and the spam on the comments on our blog.
You never see them because right. We have it set up so that we have to approve any comment that goes to the blog. So we see it and delete it before it makes it onto the blog. So those spammers should just stop. It's not getting there.
Well, what kills me is who the hell is answering this stuff? I mean, this is like a market economy here. We know that spam has blossomed because... in some circles of the universe, it's effective, right? Someone's responding to this. Someone's answering these calls for Viagra prescriptions, and they're getting harsher and harsher and harsher, and they're using tactics that we're using to prevent spam. For instance, in most forums or blogs or anything like that where you have to register or use a password or something like that, there's a device called a CAPTCHA.
CAPTCHA.
CAPTCHA. It's an acronym. And
that acronym is?
You say it.
I forgot what it is, actually. But it was developed by Xerox PARC, like in the 70s, that whole idea of fooling machines.
Right. Machines, essentially, are smart enough now. Software has been written that's smart enough now where it can do OCR, optical character recognition. So if someone were to essentially take a screenshot of a website or a screenshot, an image of some code, the computers could decode that into meaningful data and then enter that data back in. So you can't simply just say, as a method of validation or verification, here's a code that we're going to give you in an image format, and you have to type that code in to prove that you're a human, because a computer could read that code and turn it into text. So they have to obscure that image in a way that the software can't read it.
Some of these CAPTCHAs are obscured to the point where it's actually hard for me to even determine the letters. So clearly machines are going to fail at that. But we need to get stronger CAPTCHAs on the website. I'm tired of seeing fake user accounts.
Yeah, but the thing that I was going to say is that they're starting to, the spammers are starting to use opposite tactics. They're using the same tactics against us. I don't know if you've seen this in some of the emails that they're sending. They're sending, instead of spam that has text in it, they're sending spam that has images in it that are obscured, like the CAPTCHA, with all sorts of weird colored backgrounds.
Yeah, they just started coming, I think.
Yeah, that's so that if you've got some spam prevention software that's reading the contents of the email and looking for keywords and patterns to filter out the spam, it's going to prevent that. So it's like an arms race, and I'm sick and tired of it, because all I'm doing is hitting delete every day, delete every single day. How many of these emails are actually getting through? And I want to find those people and strangle them, the ones who are actually accepting this stuff and answering it.
Well, I'm with you. I don't get it. I have these fantasies, you know, right before I go to bed, and I'm just like nogging around. No, well, they're naughty, but I just, you know, dream about torturing all these guys, because there's, you know, certain guys who run spam farms, you know, they have computers set up just to send spam. And, you know, I have fantasies about, like, you know, putting sticks of dynamite in other computers and blowing them up, and, you know, because I'm tired of it. My personal email for my personal address has Spam Assassin, and the guys who maintain the server for me, Leo, he's out there. He does a great job of keeping that updated, and not much spam makes it through there, and very rarely does it make a mistake. So, you know, it gets me the email that I want to see, and, you know, once or twice a day, one or two will sneak through. Most of the spam is sneaking through from bloodyveg.com right now, unfortunately. So we're going to have to look and talk to our host excellence, our providers, and see what they have for spam prevention software. Most places just come with it. I'm surprised it's not an option in our control panel, but I didn't see it when I looked.
No, I'm going to contact them as well, and I wish that they would actually get on the ball, because really what it's coming down to is, you know, it's more bandwidth that they have to deal with, and it's wasted bandwidth too. And, you know, they could be providing more bandwidth for their customers if they prevent that garbage from getting through, even if it's just on one side of the transmission.
Absolutely, yeah. Spam, bad.
Fire, good. Well, here's some music for us to calm down.
We got a tune. Check it out. Cool.
Yep, that was minus Vince.
We haven't heard from them in a while.
Well, you know, they had to find Vince.
Well, I think Vince is still gone, actually, if I'm not mistaken. That one's going out to Jesse at GC Management, because he reminded me that Minus Vince was cool. He listened to some of our early podcasts and said, dude, I really like that Minus Vince band. So I said, we should go back and see what else they got on the Podsafe Music Network.
Yeah, they rock. They're like the love child of the Boss Tones, Mighty Mighty Boss Tones, and Metallica.
That one was called Storytellers. Yeah. And yeah, that was pretty rocking. So that's for you,
Jesse.
At GCM. He won't be hearing this for a few months because he's actually, he listened to one of our episodes and really liked it. So he decided to go back to episode number one and start listening sequentially.
He's a glutton for punishment.
Yeah, so he's going to be a few months before he gets through to episode number 72 or whatever the heck we're up to now. I don't even know.
We're at like 1 million.
Yeah.
I got to change the numbering scheme on our website.
No.
We're at
that already got us in the trouble twice.
Films,
what do you got?
Well, here's the deal. Work has sort of let up for me a little bit.
What's the deal?
The deal is work has sort of let up for me a little bit. I was sort of on a, a massive, binge purge kind of phase at work.
We talked about that a little bit.
Yeah, so I was working pretty hard. But work... with the project that we were working on got out, so I'm working fewer hours. I'm still working hours, but I'm working fewer hours. And then the holidays sort of kicked in, so I've got some time off.
It's post-Thanksgiving now.
Yep, it's post-Thanksgiving.
In fact, we're in December. It's like December 4th.
Wow. Dude, it's almost like December. So anyways, I've had more time, so I've been seeing more films. And so I
Der Flim is Okie Dokie.
Yep,
Der Flim is Okie Dokie.
We're just totally in the bag. So we've seen a lot of
that
films.
That was the Swedish Chef from the Muppet movie.
I know. Speaking of which, there was some Swedish influence in here. One of the films that I saw it was kind of weird. I saw it right before Robert Altman died, and it was Prairie Home Companion. That was a Robert Altman film. Mm-hmm. His last one, I believe.
Probably. Well, yeah. Maybe not.
He might have put in something else in
the can check the IMDb.
It's true. And that was I thought it was a fabulous film. I'm a fan of Prairie Home Companion, the radio show, but the movie was done really well. Different kind of setup than I would have ever imagined a film being done about that show. The other film that I saw was Million Dollar Baby, something I've been meaning to see for a long time.
I guess I got to add that to my queue, finally.
I haven't seen
that yet, okay. So I have nothing to say about that film.
Next one was Happy Feet. Took the kids to go see Happy Feet, the animated penguin thing, computer-generated thing.
Haven't seen that either. But you know what? Jesse out there at GCM, big penguin guy. In fact, check out his website.
He's a penguin?
ZombiePenguin.com.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
I'm not kidding. ZombiePenguin.com. Check it out.
None of those in that film. And another film that I've been meaning to see for a long time, it's been in my queue for a long time, Broken Flowers.
Well, let's talk about the ones I've seen.
Well, the one thing I wanted to say, we'll break them down and we'll talk a little bit about each, but...
Break it down!
But the thread that I'm seeing through all of these, and if anyone has seen all of these films, you understand this, or you may catch on.
Well, let's not give them that much credit. Come on now.
Everyone dies in the end. No. That's not the thread. The thread that I'm seeing here is that the main character really isn't the main character. The main character of all of these films is either the environment, the people around him, the supporting characters, which leads me to ask the question, why are these characters in these films called supporting characters, supporting actor, supporting actress, when in fact, without them, these films would be nothing? For instance, well, let's talk about Broken Flowers. I think Bill Murray in this is basically just a cardboard cutout of a human being, and everything else is going on around him. He has no expression. He really doesn't say much of anything. Everyone else around him, including his friend Winston, who's
the neighbor, is great.
Yeah, the neighbor.
Yeah. He did the whole trip for him, planned that whole trip
and
visit his ex-girlfriends to find out who wrote the note.
Right, and every person he meets is a character, and they've got these wild stories, whereas... you really know nothing about this guy, and he doesn't give much information out. He doesn't want to do anything. He's sort of going into this adventure half-heartedly. He's having the neighbor push him into it, although he senses that he wants to, and he's just wanting something.
He wouldn't have gone if he didn't want to go, I suspect.
But he's not really expressive, so the neighbor is the one who's doing all the work. You know, it's not like he's jumping into this head first. The neighbor is the one who's getting all excited about it. So everyone else around him is the character. This whole story is the character, and he's just essentially, I don't know, the premise. So makes me wonder, why do they call them main characters when, in this case, he's not a main character at all, I don't think.
Well, he got a lot of face time in the film. So if you divide, you know, number of minutes in the film by number of minutes Bill Murray on screen, it's almost a one-to-one ratio. So
yeah, but I would be willing to bet that if you did that mathematically and you looked at the frames of the film, trees had a bigger role in this film than he did. And,
well,
and they're more expressive.
They were more
him.
Expressive. I was just going to say that. Yeah. Well, yeah, Murray, he was very much what's the word? I mean, other than unexpressive, what's the word that I would say? He's a bit of a stick in the mud.
Yeah. Well, I'm not in any way saying that his performance was bad or his performance was lacking. I think that he was doing exactly what he should have been doing in that role. And
well, he's no Peter Venkman, but, you know.
He's no Maury Amsterdam, even.
Doom, 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 doom. Who are you going to call?
Venkman. And then there's the black Ghostbuster, I think. I don't even
Winston
know.
Zeddemore.
Is that what his name
yeah,
was?
Yeah, Winston Zeddemore. Yeah. Ernie Hudson.
So,
and his neighbor was Winston.
Was it?
What was his neighbor in Broken Flowers? Was it Winston?
It was Winston.
So now that's just weird.
Yeah, and what's also weird is the name of the dog that actually sort of kicked off this ability for one of his ex-girlfriends to communicate with animals. That dog's name was Winston.
Now that's just weird. And that was, it was, what's her name? From The Postman Always Rings Twice and the original, the Dino De Laurentiis King Kong.
Lang.
Jessica Lange. She was great. She was so insecure.
Psychopathic?
Well, that too.
And she had her assistant who was like a Nazi?
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, I'm not going to ruin the rest of the film if people haven't seen this. I think it's a great movie. I really had a lot of, and there were times, and I watched this alone because my family was away over Thanksgiving and I was home. I laughed literally out loud. It wasn't one of those, you know, typing on the computer, LOL. I was laughing my head off.
Was it an ROTF LOL?
No, I wouldn't go that far.
No, okay.
Because I still stayed upright in my seat.
All right, yeah. Well, and for those of you who haven't seen the film, Bill Murray gets a letter in the mail, and it's either from a woman or from the kid. I forget which one.
It's probably from a woman because it's on pink paper
with
red type.
Letting him know he has a child, yep. Right? And he starts compiling lists of all the women he's been with.
In that time frame.
In that time frame. And he kind of expresses an interest in possibly knowing who it is. And his neighbor is sort of this guy who's like really caught up in the whole detective solving mystery thing. So his friend Winston sets up the trip. He goes online and he books, you know, flights and
he's got the whole
rental
itinerary.
Cars. And he's got the whole itinerary figured out on Expedia or whatever. And he books him a flight, you know, logically from the shortest way to get from point A to point B to point C where all these women live.
Four women, yeah.
Four women so that we can meet them and he can meet them and he can do it efficiently and quickly. And that's where the fun begins. And, of course, we get to see Sharon Stone, who plays one of his ex-girlfriends, and Jessica Lange and the other ones who I don't even remember who they were at this point. But.
Yeah, and I also wanted to mention, yeah, Sharon Stone was the first girlfriend that he went to go see. I think that Sharon Stone...
Her daughter's car. Remember that?
Yeah. It was,
speaking of the dumb cars with the wings on the back.
Yeah, her daughter's car.
It was sort of like a pink version of one of those cars in the video games.
Yeah, it was one of those Too Fast, Too Furious things. Yeah, and the,
as was she.
Yeah. I was going to say Sharon Stone, I think, has a budding career as an aging white trash woman. I think that
she was fantastic.
She's gonna be in several roles as white trash, and her daughter, who was appropriately named Lolita.
Yes,
and that's all I'm gonna say. And she was married to a race car driver who died in a fireball or something like that. Yeah, so
probably in a Ferrari.
Yeah, a lot of. Old joke. A lot of
another inside joke. Nobody in the crowd's gonna get
a lot of just
what
weird
crowd?
Characters and situations he gets himself in. Yet he really has nothing to say or any expressiveness throughout these things going on around him. So yeah, I think that was a great film. Again, the supporting cast to me was way more of a standout than Bill Murray yet.
Well, I've said that before where that's often the case. Sometimes the minor players, for me, most of the time, the minor players are the really interesting people. Like on The Sopranos, mm-hmm. My favorite character up until recently was Silvio Dante, the guy played by the guy from the E Street Band, Stevie Van Zandt. Little Stevie and the Disciples of Soul, that guy. And his wife actually plays his wife on the show, Maureen Van Zandt.
Is that his real wife?
It's probably Maureen Van Zandt. I mean, I would imagine. And my other favorite character on The Sopranos is the Russian one-legged chain-smoking woman.
She's great.
Whose name I don't know, but she's always plays. She always has something interesting to say, and she's actually a pretty strong woman.
Yep, straightforward, straight talker.
And said no to Tony. Gotta like that.
Right.
Something he's not used to.
So the other films, I'm not going to dig too deep into the films that Rich hasn't seen because I don't want to give too much away. He probably won't ever go see Happy Feet, although I still recommend it. I liked it.
Penguin guy. After March of the Penguins, I'm done.
Well, this sort of takes the same kind of feel, but it's animated and fun.
Now, Burgess Meredith, I'd go see him as the Penguin.
No.
All right.
He's not in this. Prairie Home Companion.
I did see that. Garrison Keillor.
Yeah. Now, that was a film where everyone... I mean, I don't think you could say that there was a main character in this. This is one of those ensemble things. And, of course, it's an Altman film where everyone sort of is going in and out of each other's scenes. And it's there's not one character that you're following through the whole thing.
Right.
It's more like snapshots of everyday life. And this is...
Classic. Yeah, Keillor.
Keillor?
Garrison.
Oh, Garrison
Keillor. His show is about... Americana.
Oh, I thought you were talking about some other Keillor.
Bill?
Yeah, maybe.
We have a local morning drive time DJ guy named Bill Keillor, but yeah. Actually, I don't think he's on the radio anymore.
So if you've never heard Prairie Home Companion, very few people I'm sure haven't, although I'd be surprised. Prairie Home Companion, it's a weekly radio show on Saturdays.
I did review this film, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Okay.
And you reviewed Broken Flowers as well.
That's right. Okay. Yeah.
So I'm not gonna get too deeply into it.
But you've finally seen them.
I've finally seen it. And to me, it's a huge revelation when I'm seeing all these films in quick succession that the cast, the rest of the cast is really what it's all about. And in this film, it really hits home because you've got such... great characters, and they don't go out of their way to upstage each other. I mean, you've got people like, I don't know, little minor actors like...
John C. Reilly.
Woody Harrelson.
Woodrow Harrelson.
Woodrow Harrelson. Who's that hack of an actress that I can't stand? Everyone loves her from Sophie's Choice. What's her name?
Bette Midler.
No, that's a different choice.
First woman of American drama.
Yeah, what is her name?
I actually can't think of her name now, so you're going to have to say it.
Meryl Streep.
Streep, yeah. She's all right.
She's in there, and she's actually pretty good. I don't think this is her best role, but I think she doesn't jump out at the screen, you know?
No, she didn't.
She does a great job of being just part of the cast.
Lily Tomlin
plays her sister. Lindsay Lohan
plays
is in there.
The daughter,
yep. And Kevin Kline in a great role. What's that?
Oh, the radio station owner...
The Hatchet Man.
Yeah. What's his name? You know.
Tommy Lee Jones.
Not the drummer.
Tommy Lee Jones.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Not Tommy Lee.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I don't think Tommy Lee Jones has many tattoos.
I wouldn't be surprised if he had some, though. He seems like a pretty good grizzled guy.
Yeah, but you don't see any visible tattoos. Anyways, yeah, this is a star-studded cast, or it's jam-packed with these stars, yet they all play off each other really well. And then Garrison Keillor himself plays himself in the radio show, and
it looks like fun. I want to be on that show.
Oh yeah. And you know, if you've ever listened to the radio show, you have to wonder, is this really how it happens? Because it almost sounds like it's just happening the way it does happen, and these people really care about each other, and they sort of go through life, and after the show they go to the diner and hang out. And what See, I'm a fan of the show, so I was looking for some of the regulars on the show that didn't show up as their regular roles. And as it turns out, you hear three voices that are regulars. One of them is the sound effects guy,
mm-hmm.
who always does sound effects. And he still plays the sound effects guy, but he doesn't really stand out either. Another is a male character actor on the radio show, and he plays, I think, the stage director. And then the third one is a female character actor. She's in all of the skits, and she played the makeup artist. And you sort of catch the voice, but if you're not a regular listener of the radio show, you're not going to catch their voices. But they're in there, so it's not like Garrison Keillor went off and did his own thing.
Who played the ghost woman?
She was in Sideways. She was the love interest for
right. That
Paul
whole
Giamatti.
That whole thing of having her in there, I didn't even see the need to have that character in there. For me, it didn't round out the film. It brought nothing to the film having her character in there. I didn't, you know it didn't work
I thought
for
it was
me.
Perfect. I thought really? I was absolutely perfect, and you're wrong.
Okay.
So we'll just leave it at that. No.
And I'm not alone there. I was talking about this film with my friend Lisa, who recently got it on Blockbuster. She got it in her mail, and she saw it a few days ago, and she felt the same way. She didn't feel that character was particularly necessary. I don't know.
Well, you know why I say it was perfect?
I don't know.
It's because
she's pretty?
And
you're a
that.
Male chauvinist pig?
Probably. I'm looking for my wrench right now.
That's right. Go buy somebody some diamonds and just shut up.
Pretty. No, the reason why I say it's perfect is because if you listen to the show on a week-in, week-out basis...
It's perfect, really. 1959. Look at the flame on that one.
I'm going to ignore that. What happens in the show very often is there's a huge set of circumstances, large tracts of land, a huge set of circumstances...
And fell down and sank into the swamp.
And this giant buildup of maybe a skit or a story or something like that... just to put up a really bad punchline. And that's what that whole thing was about to me, because that's really what it was about, because she went through that entire thing, this big mystery, a lot of descriptive, I don't know, Kevin Kline's character was very verbose about her character, the way she looked, and it's sort of propping her up. So you think that she's going to be this main thread throughout the entire film. And really what it came down to was she just had a silly punchline in the middle of the film.
Yeah. Didn't work for me.
And that's how this show is all the time. And it's so funny because...
Could have done without her.
Oh, I don't know. And I thought the joke that they said was pretty funny, too.
I actually don't remember it. So
I'll tell you afterwards. I don't want to ruin it.
Tell me later.
Yeah. So, again, another great film. So, Prairie Home Companion. Even if you're not a great fan of the radio show, I thought the film was phenomenal.
I was at Munson Williams Proctor watching that a few months ago. And our PG rating is going to go away for a second. And... there was a guy, I was seated next to my friend Donna, who was just someone I know from the films, and someone was on her left that she knows from the area, and Donna said, oh, I just love A Garrison Keillor and A Prairie Home Companion, and he said, yeah, I listen to it sometimes too, but it's just full of bullshit liberals. So anyway, that was what the guy said.
It's funny how you hear a lot of stuff that you want to hear, and I don't know, I listen to it all the time, and I don't hear... liberals in it.
I just think it's a funny, well-written, well-produced show in the vein of classic vintage radio, you know, the heyday of radio dramas, you know.
Yep.
And I want to talk about that on our next show, and I will, but we'll get to that next week.
But the other two films, like I said, I'm not going to ruin them for Rich, but I do want to mention, if you do see them, the characters that really stood out for me, like Million Dollar Baby, you've got huge actor like Clint Eastwood, who also directed it, I believe.
Well, he did, yeah. Captain Bly was in that too, right?
Captain Bly.
He's a strong character.
Captain Bly.
I don't know.
Mr. Christian!
Okay, before the show, Rich was also smoking some weed.
No.
No, he wasn't.
Yesterday.
So, you've got huge actors in there, like Hilary Swank.
Eric Estrada.
Eric Estrada. Oh, geez, this is going nowhere. Clint Eastwood. But the character that I thought who was phenomenal, Morgan Freeman. Now, this is not a slouch.
Well, when isn't he phenomenal?
But he didn't play one of the lead character. He obviously wasn't the lead in this. It was more about Hilary Swank's character with Clint Eastwood as the boxing coach. But Morgan Freeman played an ex retired washed up boxer who was living in the gym working as like the assistant to Clint Eastwood, and he also acted as a narrator of sorts.
Was Pauly in that film?
No.
Or Mick, played by Burgess Meredith.
Women, come on, Rock.
Women weaken legs, that's all you have to know. Morgan Freeman, phenomenal. I think that he was the best character in this movie.
That reminds me of a scene from Unforgiven when Clint strolls in the town and Morgan Freeman was killed by little Joe or little Bill or whatever the sheriff's name was, played by that actor. Yeah. And little Bill had put the dead Morgan Freeman in a casket just on the front of the saloon waiting for Eastwood to come to town. Then Eastwood came into the bar and just shot everybody.
That's right.
But before he did that, he had a line like, you know, the bartender was like, what do you got against me? And he said something like, nothing, not until you decided to decorate your saloon with my best friend. Right. And I thought that was like the best line ever.
That another film was just hands down one of the best films ever made.
Because you feeling it, lucky, punk?
Because it took...
That's the best Eastwood I got.
I'm digressing here, but it took the Western genre and it turned it into something a little bit darker.
Unforgiven. Yeah. Great
yeah,
film.
Great film.
Clint Eastwood, good filmmaker. Pretty good actor.
Good filmmaker.
Good filmmaker. Him. Good wine, that. Good bread, this.
And the last film in my slew of film reviews
Hurry
here.
Hurry up. We're running long here.
Happy Feet.
Happy Feet. Is it a dancing film?
Now,
what is that?
I took my kids to see this because they've been begging me to see this. And I really wasn't all that enthused about going to see it. But I saw a little preview of it and I saw a little HBO behind the scenes thing. And it looked pretty good. So a lot of actors in this. I mean, just phenomenal actors. You had Frodo. Remember who Frodo was?
Yeah.
That's right. You didn't see those films, did you?
I saw the first one.
Okay.
Well, he was also in that film, another one I can't
where
remember,
he
where
searching,
he went back to Russia,
yep.
And he was kind of searching for his family roots.
Right.
Everything is illuminated.
Right.
Yeah.
Elijah
Phenomenal
Wood.
Film. Very good. See that. I review that, but you guys need to see that too. Have you seen that yet? Is it in your queue?
It's in my queue, but I haven't
All
seen
right.
it.
Well, hurry up.
So Elijah Wood plays the main character. His name is Mumble. The Penguin, Mumble Happy Feet. He's an emperor.
He was on Dancing with the Stars, wasn't he?
He was with Emmett Smith.
He won.
So Mumble is this penguin, you know.
And Mumbles was also a character played by Dustin Hoffman in the Dick Tracy film. Remember
that's true.
Mumbles?
That's true.
With Madogma, I mean Madonna.
I remember that. The basic premise of this is he's an emperor penguin chick who ends up becoming...
He's an emperor penguin chick.
That's right. Baby chick.
Oh, okay.
Jeez. You're silly.
I'm just silly.
Okay. So he's an emperor
Stop.
Penguin chick, and in the world of the emperor penguins, you're supposed to suspend your disbelief here. The way that each one of these emperor penguins sort of is a standout is their ability to sing. Each one of them has this song in their heart. So that's how they meet up with each other. Each penguin has a different song, and their ability to sing is the most prized thing. Well, Mumble can't sing, but he can dance.
And he can mumble.
Well, he dances like Savion Glover can dance.
He's coming to Utica soon.
You know why he can dance like Savion Glover?
Because he's got rhythm.
No, because Savion Glover actually did the motion capture for the dancing penguins.
Oh, well, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, and he was a hell of a dancer.
Guy can dance.
Yeah.
He's a Gregory Hines disciple, though, don't you think?
Is he?
Without Gregory Hines, we don't have Savion Glover.
I don't know about that.
That's what I think. But that's okay. You got to come from somewhere.
He's just a penguin now.
Yeah.
So, but Elijah Wood is playing this main character, but really the standout characters are all the characters around him doing their singing and dancing routines. And then, you know, anytime you put Robin Williams in a film.
Post-rehab?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know when it was filmed, but...
Yeah. Well, if you put him in pre-rehab, all kinds of crazy stuff could happen.
Robin Williams does not play just one character. He actually voices two characters in this film. And I got to say, he pretty much is a standout. It's dangerous ground that you're walking on, putting Robin Williams in a film and asking him to be a supporting character.
But Robin Williams being a standout, nothing new.
Nothing new.
For my money, funniest guy in the world.
Right. And you can tell that a lot of the stuff that he did was improv.
Yeah, he's famous for that.
Yeah, so he's a standout. You've got Nicole Kidman plays Mumble's mother.
I've heard of her.
Yeah. Hugh Jackman plays the father.
I've heard of him.
Yeah, and he's actually a pretty good singer.
Who knew?
Well, I think everyone knew.
Now.
That's why they put him in the role. So you have all these characters, these big actors, and man, I got to tell you, Elijah Wood doesn't really stand out very much. Everyone else does.
Well, I don't think he's that strong. I mean, Elijah Wood, after seeing the first Lord of the Rings film and seeing Everything is Illuminated, pretty much, he doesn't have a lot. He doesn't have a broad range for me as an actor.
He likes to play short things.
He does. He plays short people. With
and
weird facial expressions, and that's about
short
it.
Short animals, too.
Sometimes.
Penguins. Yeah. So anyways, I think you should see every single one of these films and love them all, but pay close attention to the supporting cast, because really, that's where the money's at.
Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
I'm not seeing that.
Great film. Anyway, we got a tune. Let's just jump right in. Let's check it out. We're going to get spanked right now.
I've got to save the world, liberate the food that's on my plate. Recycling is really great. Whatever I can do, to get in bed with you. I'll be a Marxist, a communist, a pacifist, an anarchist, Democrat, red, white, green, or blue. Whatever I can do to get in bed with you. I never knew I gave a damn until you told me who I am and what to do. Whatever I can do to get in bed with you. 'Cause I know war is bad and love is really good. Taking a stand starts in your neighborhood. And I do the best I can, just like you say I should. The ones who make a difference are few. So what can I do? Get in bed with you. I'd love to hear your world peace plan. Why don't you tell me in my van? We can discuss Camus. Whatever I can do to get in bed with you. I've got to change my mind. Masticate, use condoms when I fornicate until I hyperventilate. Whatever I can do, my balls are turning blue. I've got to say.
stuff.
I love the fact that it's not even trying to be in tune right there. That was the Asylum Street Spankers, one of my favorite bands in the world. Little Sgt. Pepper's influence going on.
There's
there,
a lot
you think?
Of Beatles nods going on in
if
there.
If you took out the subject matter and the lyrics, that could have been right off Sgt. Pepper's.
Well, I mean, there was the Oompa or whatever. There's the stuff right out of Sgt. Pepper's.
Did you hear about the new record George Martin put out where he sort of rearranged and reorchestrates tunes, Beatles tunes? He adds strings. He does all kinds
really?
Of things. He does things that if it weren't him, it would be sacrilege. But because he's George Martin, he can do it and
Sir
people
George.
Will love it. Yeah. And, you know, he's got the juice. Why not?
Well, he does have some credentials.
It's my point there. So anyway, I saw a film at Munson called Riding Alone for Thousands of Miles, which is apparently the name of a Chinese folk opera, and that's kind of what this film is about. It's about this guy, played by Ken Takakura, an iconic Japanese actor. If you're into Japanese cinema, you know who this guy is. He travels to China because his son, who he has, he's estranged from, is a Asian folk art scholar. And the last thing he had seen from his son was an interview he had done for Japanese television interviewing a famous Chinese folk art singer, a Chinese folk opera singer named Li Jiamin, who I guess is a real guy who actually does this, and he kind of plays himself in the film. And Ken Takakura's son, he actually plays a guy named Takada. Takada's son, Kenichi, was not able to capture a performance of this opera called Riding Alone for Thousands of Miles on film because the Li Jiamin character was ill when he was in Japan. So it becomes the father's mission to go to China and videotape this guy doing this to give to his son on his deathbed because he was recently in the film diagnosed with liver cancer, which is typically bad. So most of the film is about his journey to China to track down this Li Jiamin, who it turns out is in jail, and get permission from Chinese authorities to be able to, as a foreigner, to be able to enter the jail and have him perform this and get it on tape.
In jail.
In jail, kind of like Johnny Cash.
Well, that was
at Folsom
story.
Prison. Yeah, it's probably more difficult to get in jail. It's probably very easy to get in jail in China, but not if you haven't done anything wrong and you're a foreigner trying to videotape somebody.
That's right.
That's entirely different. I mean, it's just the classic theme about not severing relationships and, you know, cherishing people when they're alive before it's too late.
Yeah.
All that good stuff. One of the subplots in the film is actually about the Takada character and the father who goes to China. He learns one of the reasons he actually gets permission to go in the jail and to videotape Li Jiamin, but Li Jiamin could not perform because he was just totally overwrought with emotion and because he is estranged from his son. So it becomes Takada's mission at that point to go to the village where the 7-year-old son of Li Jiamin is and bring him back to the prison so he can have a moment with his son, and then maybe he can then film this guy finally doing this classic Chinese folk opera. But it's just a really sweet story. I mean, it just reminds me of a famous Twilight Zone episode where at, you know, how Sterling does his classic little spiel in the beginning and in the end. And there was a famous one. I don't remember the name of it. And it was about a couple and how they were trying to seek out the garden of youth, or the fountain of youth, the Garden of Eden. No, but the Fountain of Youth. And ultimately, there was a surgery that could make you younger, but they could only afford enough money to do one of them.
Right.
So the woman is like, well, you go, you have it. And ultimately, he decides not to have it and just spend the rest of his life with his wife. And then Sterling at the end says, not just a message, a reminder from all the romantics at the Twilight Zone, or something like that. And that could have been the ending tagline kind of for this film, too. It's a really nice piece of work. A little bit long for me. I don't think it had to be as long as it was.
Well,
but
I mean, it was 1,000 miles or something.
Yeah, Riding Alone for Thousands of Miles. Directed by Zhang Yimou. I have no idea if that's how his name is pronounced, but it's a 2005 film. It takes place mostly in China, but with mostly Japanese-speaking actors. So it's obviously subtitled, and it's a nice piece of work. I would definitely recommend it.
Cool.
Check it out, man. Put it in your queue. What do we got? Pick the right button, man. That's the one.
I lost my button for a second there.
Button. Who's got the button? Name the movie.
That would be Dr. Strange.
Willy Wonka. Button.
Oh, that's
Who's
right.
Got the button?
Different button I was thinking of.
Oh, boy. Anyway, this is Rich Wilgus.
Yeah, it is Rich Bilgus.
Oh, wait,
I'm a John.
Johnny Ola. Check us out on the web, www.bloodyveg.com.
Send us feedback.
Which works.
Yes, yeah.
We would love to have some audio feedback and email. We haven't got any of that in a while.
Yeah, send it to feedback@bloodyveg.com. And also check out our forum,
which is bloodyveg.com/forum. All kinds of fun stuff going on up there. So do all that stuff and you'll be a good American.
Good American.
Yeah. Anyway.
Not a liberal.
You're listening to VIB.